Welcome to the Mostly Potter at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 146. That's 146 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. We close out our journey through this month of Japanese horror with a director spotlight on Takashi Miike. A prolific filmmaker with a wide range of genres. There's even like family-friendly movies and like animated children's films and stuff. It's interesting. There's a lot. He's made like over 100 movies.
Holy crap.
Anyway, but he's gained a reputation, I guess most importantly, for his portrayal of extreme violence and sexual perversion. So let's dive in with some of his most famous works. Now, I'd say these are probably his most well-known films. One Missed Call probably being the biggest success, I would say. Audition probably number two to that, and Ichi the Killer is, we have that on here simply because there's a lot of controversy about that movie, a lot of interesting stuff. There's a lot of countries that have like banned the film.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those films, simply because there's a lot of violence directed specifically towards women.
Oh, yeah.
So sure it's is. Like there's a lot of people that are like against that. Like violence just for violence's sake is not as bad as like sexual violence against a woman taken like in the context that this film takes it in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's almost Japan's Gaspar.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, but that like Irreversible, right? Like that is like, yeah, it's a horrible thing that happens, but it recognizes that it's horrible and they try to do something about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's yes, it is horrible and you do witness it, but it's like it's shown as this is terrible, right? You know, like yep. This is a bad thing. Like this film, it's not really, it's like not one way or the other. It's just there.
Yeah.
So I think that's why people are very upset about it. But yeah, it was like they wouldn't release it in the UK until they like censored stuff and there's a whole lot of weird stuff about it. But again, that's probably if you know his films, these are probably the three that you know of.
Oh yeah.
All right. So we'll do in chronological order here. We'll start with Audition, which I believe was released in Japan in 1999.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fairly simple concept. So I'll tell you what it is there's a guy who, his wife dies and he has a young son. And he, you know, is very dedicated, loved his wife very much. And basically like 10 years later has like dedicated his life to his son.
Mm-hmm.
And not done anything romantically in his life, you know, since the wife died. So his son is like getting of the age where he's like, you know, just about to move on to college now. You know, and so he's like basically telling his dad, like, hey, man, you should like, you know, get another wife. And he just goes straight for the, yeah, I'm going to get a wife. Like not date again, nothing. No, he's just, I'm looking for a wife specifically.
Immediately. Yes.
Right. Just going straight for the wife. So he's, you know, he's talking to his friend about it. And his friend is like, well, he's in TV. They don't really show what his job is, mm-hmm. but he's in TV something. He's like a manager in a TV station. I don't know what he does. They don't really say what he does, but it doesn't matter. And his friend is a filmmaker. And he basically says, hey, I have this, you know, script. Why don't we hold an audition and we'll like basically make this audition like you auditioning women to be your wife. So like we're going to make this movie or we're going to try to make this movie, but the secondary reason is going to be you trying to pick a wife. So here's all the women that have, you know, send in their headshot to be in, you know, in this film, you pick out the top 30 that you like. And then, you know, and then we'll interview them and then you get to pick one and then try to date.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, we go through all of the, you know, these different women interviewing stuff and he kind of focused on one of them before like they even started the auditions because he had like their headshot and like an essay they wrote about themselves. And she like, he was intrigued by the way, you know, she wrote and, you know, that she was like, she's not an actress, but she, you know, really felt this script and she really just wanted to be present for this script. She had to try kind of thing. But anyway, she seemed like, you know, earnest and, you know, kind of more sophisticated and I guess mature than most of the other women that were, you know, applying for it. And, you know, whatever. So he kind of, you know, singles her out and asks her out on a date and they go out on a date. And it's everything seems to be going well. And at this point is when we start seeing some cracks. Right. We see them. He doesn't see them yet. We see them like after their first date, she's like sitting at home, like in like the weird, I don't know, scary Japanese girl position, like watching a phone. And then when the phone rings, like a weird bag wiggles around, like there's a person inside of it. Right. So we're getting these little glimpses of weird stuff is happening around here. But of course, the guy doesn't know this. So they go on dates and he's getting along with her well, and he's talking to his friend and he's like, oh, you know, hey, you should kind of like slow things down. You don't want to get too, you know, attached to her this quickly. You got to like, you know, let her stew about it.
Right.
So he does that. She doesn't really appreciate that, but she's like very happy that he called. Anyway, so they kind of like, you know, introduces him or he's going to introduce her to his son, but he's going to take her away for the weekend. First, you know, they're gonna have like their first like romantic getaway type thing. So they go for this romantic getaway. There's a very awkward like sex scene to where she just kind of like strips down and then like shows him all these scars that she has, like saying, I want you to know who I am. And then they like go into like the sex scene, but he like basically just like wakes up the next morning, like kind of like it looks like he's been drugged or something, right? And he's like, and the front desk is calling him like, oh, your partner left, we don't know if we want to know if you're gonna still stay here because she's gone, she said she's not coming back. He's like, oh, that's weird. But anyway, and then in that whole thing of like, she says, you know, I want you to love me and only me. That was like her big thing. And he's like, oh yeah, sure. Of course.
Yep.
So the next morning, you know, obviously she's gone. He's looking for her everywhere. He never did see her house. Like whenever he dropped her off, she was just like, oh, drop me off at this corner. Drop me off over here. You know, he never knew where she lived. So he's like trying to frantically find her. He basically, you know, kind of pressures his friend to see what he can find out. You know, he's like, I don't know anything. He's like, all I have is the headshot info. He's like, that's all I have. He's like, you know, look that over. So he looks it over again and he's like, oh yeah, that's right. She said she was a ballet dancer, but she had to quit. So I'm going to go to her ballet school. And he goes to the ballet school and there's like this weird, creepy old man. The ballet school is like all boarded up. Like it's, you know, not in use anymore. Like there's this weird, creepy old man who basically says, oh, you know her too. Oh, you should stay away from her. She's dangerous. Anyway, so he looks all over. He can't really find her. He's not getting any leads. And he's like, ah, whatever. So he goes home. And just got to, I'm cutting out a lot of the fluff here because there's.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot.
Right. None of that matters.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets home. It's a night where his son says that he's out at his friend's house. He's not coming back that evening. So he, you know, so the guy gets in there and he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like, you know, relax, I'm gonna have a, you know, a glass of whiskey and then relax this evening and, you know, we'll see how it goes. And so he has a glass of whiskey which was drugged.
Oh, he relaxed, all right.
Yeah. So then he like realizes something is wrong, but he's down for the count. He wakes up and he's on the ground and she is there wearing like a leather like butcher's apron.
She fits and right like, at home with yeah. Hostel.
Right. And like these, yeah, big giant like plastic gloves over her. And she's like, oh yeah, don't, you know, you're paralyzed. You can't move, but you can still feel everything. And she starts going, you know, oh, you should, you'd only love me, but I see you had a wife that you loved. Like, that's unacceptable. Oh, you love your son.
Yeah. He's
like, that's unacceptable. You know, and then like all this weird stuff. And she starts like stabbing all these, like, it's like reverse acupuncture. Like, instead of like putting it in the places where you don't feel it, she's putting it in all the places where you do feel it, and it hurts a lot.
His belly, under his eyes.
Yeah, like, yeah. So he's in like intense pain. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to make sure you can't go anywhere. And she takes like the, like one of those like fishing line saws.
Yep.
And she saws off his foot. And there's a weird, bizarre scene. Like when he gets knocked out, we get a lot of like weird flashes. Like, who knows how he's seeing this or what's really going on. But we see like a lot of flashes of like her past life, of like how she had to dance for the creepy old man while he was like spanking and under his blanket in his wheelchair. And if she didn't dance for him, he would burn her legs with like incense sticks.
Yep.
Which is how she got the scars that she was showing off earlier. We get, there's a weird scene where we see the guy in the bag is like some other person that she has done this to, and is like her kind of like weird slave now.
Yeah, because they found a body and they found like extra fingers and a tongue that didn't belong to him.
Right. Yeah. She's like, she's killed other people.
Yeah.
Like other lovers that she's had. And yeah, in one of the crime scenes, they found extra parts, which is all the parts that were removed from this guy. We never even find out who this guy is.
Nope.
It's not that person. We don't know who it is. It's just some guy that she's done this to before. Anyway, we got all kinds of weird, crazy scenes of like her life and his life, like scenes of like him, like, I don't even know if these scenes are real or not, but him like boning his like secretary at work. Which apparently he did one time, which is like a weird subplot where she like is getting married and she's like kind of angry that he's not upset about it.
Uh-huh.
I guess we get the information that they had slept together one time and then he never followed up on it. And she was upset about that, whatever. There's a weird scene of like him. I don't know if it's real or not, of him like, you know, getting a BJ from the girl his son brought home from school.
Right.
Well, who knows if that's
kind of more between like her, his wife, the main chick.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I mean, obviously it's a drug induced thing, but like, who knows what is, this is real and what is fantasy? Like, who knows? We don't know.
Right.
So essentially, yeah, he comes out of it. The foot gets cut off. She's about to cut off the other foot. And then the son comes home. And the son is like, oh yeah, my friend got sick, you know, suddenly, so I had to come home. And so, you know, she like runs and hides and he's paralyzed on the floor. So he walks in immediately. He's like, oh shit, something's wrong. She comes after him with some kind of like, I don't know, spray chloroform. I don't know what the hell it was. It was like a spray bottle or something.
It looked and sounded like Banaka.
Yeah. So I don't know if she's trying to spray chloroform on him. I don't know, whatever it is.
It didn't work.
So yeah, it didn't work. He defends himself. He runs up the stairs. He defends himself again and he kicks her. She falls down the stairs and breaks her neck.
Maybe.
I mean, she does break her neck.
Well, yeah, but there's still more hallucination.
Well, yeah, I mean, whatever. So, like, she's looking at him on the ground. Like, we can see her neck is, like, clearly broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, suffering. And then, yeah, we get a whole lot more weird fantasy type what the hell is going on, where he, like, wakes up back at the like romantic getaway hotel room, and she's like there, and then he's like, oh, you know, did I just dream all that, or is that real or not, or what? I mean, we don't really know. And then it just kind of ends.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is your first time seeing it, correct?
No, I've seen this before.
Okay. I mean, what was your first thoughts, or even on the rewatch?
I mean, it's just kind of confusing. I mean, there's a lot of things that are not talked about. I mean, I guess we understand, like, you know, the guy in the bag, right? We get that he's somebody that she did this to before, but we don't even get a clue on who he is.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of things happening, like what's real, what isn't. Like, you know, is this real? Is this him imagining what would happen if he got into a relationship with someone else? I mean, like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But they did show a lot of her weird stuff, like her with the guy in the bag waiting for the phone call before that.
Right.
So was that him fantasizing about what she was like at home? I mean, we don't know. We have no idea.
Yeah.
So again, there was, you know, creepy stuff like when he was researching where she worked, you know, where she said she worked, and that was the place that had been shut down for a year because the owner was murdered.
Right.
So like, okay, she lied about that. But again, we don't know. Is this him making stuff up in his head? Obviously, no. It's like unreliable narrator type stuff.
Right. Right. And, you know, I know I'd saw this a while ago, but this movie comes up a lot, specifically for, you know, essentially the last scenes of the movie of with her torturing him. But I don't feel like I've ever heard people talking about whether it's real or not, whether it's hallucination, how far things actually went. Which is weird that there's not more discussion on it. I didn't search too hard, but.
Well, a film like this is going to be, nobody cares about that stuff.
Right.
They only care about the foot.
Correct. And it's just an interesting, like, twist and turns and plot threads that don't really matter to the movie.
Right.
You know, it's fluff, as you said. You know, do we need to have the secretary, you know, plot thread? No.
Well, it's just odd that, like, you know, she's, like, acting all weird through, like, the first, you know, hour of the film. We don't find out what's going on until, like, an hour and 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, that would have been good information to know, like, a long time ago to know why she's being so weird.
Right. She goes, I'm getting married. He's like, okay. She stares at him. And then
he's like, oh, congratulations. She's, like, staring at him, like, waiting for something. It's like, what do you want?
Yeah. Do you want to do your highlights first? Or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, the idea of the audition for dating, I mean, it's great. I guess it's like, you know, video dating kind of, sort of, right?
Right.
A great idea, but it's like very predatory. Obviously, you're like bringing women there under false pretenses. I'm pretty sure that's like fraud. But I mean, I get there was a film attached. It was very flimsy and it didn't end up even getting made from what the guy said. But I mean, there at least was potential for it. So it wasn't like totally bad, but still an interesting idea, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the drug dream montage was fun. I mean, it kept going in these crazy, wacky directions. And you're like, what is going on? Like, sometimes he would like take her place and sometimes there'd be different people and different roles and stuff. It was very bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the torture and the effects were very believable and terrifying. So
yes, they were.
I guess that's a plus. That's all I got.
Yeah, Ganji, good boy, good boy. As you said, the body horror and the effects.
His name was Gangu.
Gangu. My subtitle says just Gang, so
it's Gangu.
Gangu. Okay.
My subtitles spelled it Gangu. Gangu.
Mine did not. I said the body horror, like the last, I'd say the last 20 minutes of the movie is what most people talk about in this movie, hands down.
Correct.
You know, like I said, you know, Sackman, who knows who Sackman is? Just no clue. You know, because they talk about like the record producer that's supposed to be representing her disappeared like a year and a half ago. And it is just interesting to see that. And the drug trip is weird. And you don't really know what's real and what's not after he drinks his whiskey. In the slightest.
Well, like I said, even before that, like there's weird, like, you know, kind of parts of things before that. So you don't know what's real at all.
Right. But as you said, the effects were good. Practical for the most part. I completely enjoyed that. I'll roll into my low points. They dubbed the dog weirdly. Like,
they dubbed the dog.
Yeah, like making dog noises and breathing and barking when he wasn't doing any of that, just to make it you realize there's a dog there.
Did you like download some like weird version? Because it was fine in my version.
It didn't sound, the dog noises didn't seem weird to you?
No.
Oh, they send weed for me. As you said, the predatory auditions for love. It's interesting that we see all the red flags and he doesn't.
Well, again, we're also seeing things from her perspective when he's not around.
Right.
Which he doesn't obviously see that. He's just looking for a wife and she's acting like the perfect wife material person.
Right. Obviously, for Gangu.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's alive. I don't know. Unconsensual acupuncture.
Again, that's like reverse acupuncture. Because acupuncture is supposed to, they're supposed to put the needles into places where they don't, where you don't feel it.
Yeah.
So she's literally doing the opposite of that.
Yeah. And it was unhinged, going ichi, 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 going deeper and deeper. I loved it, though. But it was good. If I had gotten to this, I would call that the title of this episode. And, you know, for being paralyzed, he moved his body often.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're never going to be, like, completely paralyzed. You can, like, wiggle your hands, but you're not going to have the dexterity to, like, actually do anything.
Yeah, he's just, you're more so, like, numbed.
Well, I mean, he couldn't lift his arm. He could flap his hand and fingers, but he couldn't, like, move his arms.
Yeah. And obviously Sackman, his dinner. I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was just like condensed milk or vomit. I don't know what it was supposed to be. It was gross.
It was very gross. I agree.
It sounded like she was throwing up for him. And he screamed dinner and started lapping up and it looked like condensed milk. But that was gross.
Yes.
That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, she was like genuinely unhinged, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. But I mean, her portrayal was genuinely unhinged. It was frightening. Her kind of switch was scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sex scene was so weird, man. I don't know if that's just like a weird, like, conservative Japanese culture sex scene. I don't know. It was just, I was uncomfortable. The ballet guy, right? He was this creepy old man, you know, obviously cranking it to an underage girl dancing. But he had these like boots on that were like feet.
It's like prosthetic feet, but they're feet attached.
Right. It was like if you skinned someone's legs off and then somebody else like laced them up and put them on his boots. That's literally what he was wearing. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
No explanation. he just has weird feet boots. I'm like, what the fuck is this going on?
No idea.
Again, poor Gangu. And then like, yeah, what the fuck was with the bag, man? Like that guy was genuinely disturbing. I did not like him. And then we didn't get any information about him at all.
Correct.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right.
So this week we'll do amputations. Mm-hmm. Cause there's a lot of those.
There are
a few anyway. So yeah, we'll do amputations out of 10. So, Graveyard, what would you give Audition?
You know, it's an interesting movie through the most part, right? It's, yes, there's a lot of build up. Yes, there's a lot of pieces to it. It's definitely a rewatchable movie, I think. I will give it 7.5 amputations out of 10. How about you?
I liked it. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff happening, but is enough to like keep you on your toes, is enough to, you know, keep you interested to rewatch it and see if maybe you can spot other things, I guess. I don't know, it's good. I'll give it an 8 amputations out of 10.
Yeah. Oh, and something I forgot to mention this past time for Audition that we mentioned all the other times, you know, hey, I'm gonna get married and then I'll introduce my wife to my kid. That's,
well, he wasn't going to get married yet. He was going for the romantic getaway.
Right. But that seems the theme in a lot of these Japanese horror movies, is that happens.
I think, you know what? I don't know if the marriage culture is different there, but like, again, he was like, I need to get married. It wasn't like, hey, I need to find a woman for in my life. No, it was like, I need a wife. And it went straight there.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know if it's just different there. I mean, I know they do have some forms of arranged marriage, but That was an arranged marriage. I don't know. It's very odd. I don't know enough about Japanese marriage culture to say if that's like normal or not. But since we're seeing it a lot, I would guess it's kind of sort of normalish for there, I guess.
I mean, we don't, without researching, we would know, because if you look at like American horror movies, like the dad's always a drunk and the mom's beat. Like that's the American marriage story in horror movies. Doesn't make it the norm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think, you know, it's kind of like that thing of why the moms are always dead in the sitcoms in the 80s is because they're always the voice of reason. And maybe that's applying here. It's my best guess. You know, I mean, we don't really have many mothers in these families that we watch in these horror movies.
Not normal ones, no.
Right. So, all right.
All right. So moving on, Ichi the Killer from 2001.
Yeah, this one is it's hard to explain in some of it. Essentially, it opened up with someone, a woman being brutally beaten and raped. What a way to start the movie. And a guy comes in and essentially saves her. And then, like, I assume that was semen that his name appeared in.
It was.
Yeah. I didn't catch that at first, but as you watch the movie, you realize, yeah, that was semen.
He didn't do anything yet. This time he was just cranking it on the balcony.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything until the next time
he's watching. Oh, okay. But yeah. And essentially Ichi the Killer is this like Baba Yaga that no one knows who he is throughout most of the movie. We know who he is eventually, but so essentially the Yakuza is there and, you know, we have people being cleaned up a scene, and the Yakuza boss was like killed by this mysterious Ichi the Killer, but they don't know where he is. They don't know he's dead because, you know, these people came up and cleaned up the mess. So the kind of like that loss of their leader throws a shift in the power balance where you have some people want to do stuff. You have, you know, the, let's call him Pennywise, the clown mouth guy.
His name is Kakihara.
Kakihara. That's yes.
Kakihara.
Who has, you know, he'd love to tell you how he got those scars. I bet. Cause he likes pain a lot. So anyway, we're just kind of figuring out what's going on there. And, you know, there's the clan that happens. And, you know, they're trying to figure out what happens to the boss. Like, oh, this old man found him. Like, no. Okay. Hey, let's, this guy says he knows who he is. So let's hang up by, I don't know, 15 hooks from the ceiling and just start making some shrimp tempura and then, you know, scalding him with the tempura batter, which is great. You know, I guess the kind of like the second guy in command of the boss clan, the crime clan, like says that's too much. You need to do something about that. He's like, you're right. I like sweet things, so I'll cut off my tongue that has the sweet taste buds on it. So that's my punishment. And he thoroughly enjoys cutting off his tongue.
Yeah, it's okay. the hierarchy of this gang is confusing at first.
There's like eight people in charge.
Okay, the guy that's actually in charge of everybody is the weird little guy who's like sick all the time
with the hourglass.
Right, that's the guy who's like the main boss. Okay, and then the sub boss was Kakihara's boss.
Yeah,
Anjo, and then the other sub boss was the guy in the suit who was the boss of the guy that got hooked on the ceiling.
Yeah.
So like the guy that got hooked on the ceiling was essentially Kakihara's like double on the other group who shared an office in the same building that they're in. It's very goofy, but
yeah,
that's the hierarchy. I was confused at first. I had to like figure it out. I'm like, who the fuck is working for who?
Yeah. So, but because of what, you know, Kakihara did, his subgroup splits off. They get kicked out. Well, he gets kicked out. He's like, oh, I'm taking the rest of Anjo's clan with me. And now we're going to be rivals. Cool. All while trying to figure out who this Ichi the Killer is. Like I said, there's lots of body parts. You know, there's a scene where Ichi is like, I'd say dressed up almost like in a Kick-Ass style outfit with a 3-inch blade that comes off his foot. He starts just like slicing people to smithereens.
Yeah. Now, you know what? There's like, I think there's something I'm missing because I think it's a Japanese thing that I'm just missing. Like in the beginning, in the credits of the film, you clearly see the number one.
Yep.
In the puddle of semen. And he's got a one on his back.
Yep.
Is Ichi Japanese for one?
Okay, so it's
I don't know. I guess I should have looked that up.
So it's ich ni ha is 1, 2, 3 in Japanese. So ich is one in Japanese.
Okay, so maybe that's what the one is. Okay, I that's just the thing. I was like sitting there. I was trying to figure it out the whole time. I just realized right now what that probably means. Number his name is number one. I don't know.
Whatever. Which is weird because he's Chinese.
Correct.
So why would he have Japanese one on his back?
I don't know.
So I don't know. But anyway, so that's going on there, and he kind of, you know, is like, we kind of find out his backstory, or I'll say it right now, the false backstory that he's been led to believe, that we believe initially, that he was bullied. He couldn't stop this girl from being raped, so he takes it out on other bullies. Like, he's got to get his revenge. He has this other guy that's telling him, like, yeah, these bullies are bad. Your bullies are bad, but these guys are even worse. You have to stop them. You have the capability of stopping them, so you need to go do that.
Right. And as a side effect of this, he's also, like, attracted to rape. Right. So, like, he can't be aroused unless there's, like, he's witnessing a rape.
Right. Right. And, you know, eventually goes back to the guy he visits in the first scene, saves her. He's like, you know what? It's like, thank you. Don't worry. I will beat you now. okay.
Yeah, like that's not what she wanted to hear, I'm pretty sure.
Like, and she's like, no thanks. Like, what? No, no, and then slices her in half.
Yeah.
Anyway, he stops a young kid from being bullied and kind of like kills the bully. So he kind of befriends the young kid, but whose older brother is like the hired gunman of the Anjo clan, who was a disgraced cop who lost his gun. So he got disbarred from the police department only to be a gunman again, which they point out a lot. So all that's going on there. There's a clan. There's more deaths. You know, Ichi takes out a large chunk of them in a scene. Like, I think there's like three left at the end of that. And he kind of has a one, you know, a standoff with Kakihara, who's like, he just starts crying, and, you know, he faces the older brother's, the kid's older brother with his gun, and he kills him, and so he gets mad, ends up killing the kid as well that he had saved earlier, like, scalps him, and then, he fights Kakihara, who we find out earlier that has, like, if you punch him into his face, his mouth will open up. Your hand will go into, like I said, Pennywise the Clown rows of teeth and, like, grind on your hand. But eventually he kills Kakihara and throws him off, essentially, a parking garage or elevator shaft, right? And, well, and he goes on and continues fighting the crime. It leaves with a bunch of school kids and actually kills... I believe his guy who lied to him's corpse hanging from the tree that school kids were going across the body, because we find out that all these memories were fake for Ichi. The guy implanted them all, because what happens was he goes into a fit of rage and he loses consciousness, blacks out, and kills people, killed his parents, killed all this other stuff. And that rape story was implanted, and that's kind of like what he stuck to become like such maniac for violence and sex.
Said that he basically would manufacture memories to like get him in the mode to kill whoever he wanted him to kill, and for whatever reason he did a too good of a job with that particular memory and it stuck,
right?
And so now he's permanently in that memory.
Yeah, so fiend.
Right.
So,
all right. So, what are your high points?
You want me to go first? Yeah. Let's see here. I think the hanging from the hook scene was done well. I think it looked good. And it looked like he was really hung up. And, you know, for when they used the practical gore, it looked good. We'll get to the other part that's not practical on the other side there. You know, it's interesting that we kind of have, like, you almost are rooting for Itchy. Like, oh, he's a good guy. He's fighting crime. He's getting rid of all this stuff because he was bullied and couldn't stop it. No, he's the worst one of them all. And it's just like a unique twist that I did not see coming at all. So I appreciate that twist into it. And yeah, they don't really hold back on the gore and the violence in this movie at all, which is really interesting because that was like supercharged, like New French Extremity stuff that this movie kind of showcases a bit. Those are my highlights. How about yours?
Well, those opening credits were a statement. I'll say that. They like get you like, go, wow, what is happening with this movie? Like immediately.
Yes.
I mean, it's fun seeing like the kind of the underbelly of Japan, right? Because like all the characters are criminals. Like there's literally, and all the characters in this film are bad people. Like there's, yes. I think like the child is like the only one that's not bad. That's it.
It's also like Tarantino-esque.
Right.
Yeah.
I really like that the one lady was speaking English.
Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. All the time. And everybody was just acting like she wasn't. It was very bizarre. Like I'm watching it, and it's even subtitled like she is. And I'm like, she's very clearly speaking English. Like what is, why, how does everybody just know what she's saying?
Yeah.
Very odd. And I guess this one is interesting enough because it's got the often imitated whenever somebody's making fun of or you know parroting or whatever trying to be a Japanese film, they always have that those giant sprays of blood, right? Whenever anybody gets cut,
yeah.
This film actually has those giant sprays of blood, which we haven't really seen in any of these other films.
Right.
I thought that was fun. I'll kind of roll into my low points here. There's a lot of bad CGI.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there's a just, you know, like the blood sometimes smeared all over the walls is not great.
The face.
Yeah, the ceiling, like the cut in half stuff. Like the again, there's just some interesting bad looking stuff. Like when the old man like steps out of his like coveralls and he's like literally has a bodybuilder body and you can see his head is like very roughly like
it's
photoshopped on top. It looks terrible.
It's not Photoshop. It's like Microsoft Paint bad.
Yeah, it's very very bad. I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah. Again, suspension torture was like terrifying. Like, wow. I can't imagine waking up hanging from the ceiling and then getting hot oil put on your face.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, domestic abuse is never fun.
Yeah.
Being excited by domestic abuse is also not fun. I mean, that nipple torture I could have done without.
What? You mean like nipples being cut off?
Yeah, like I don't know why like everybody's reaction is like, oh, this lady's screaming. Let's just keep beating on her till she stops. Like, what? Uh-huh. What is that? Like what thinking is that? Like if the one guy that did that was the guy that they were trying to say was like, oh, he just kind of like a guy, you know, he's circumstance that he's here. It's not his fault. Like he's the kind of good, bad guy. But no, he beat a woman to death because she wouldn't stop crying.
Correct.
Like everybody is an asshole in this film. That's all I got.
Yeah, I agree. Rape bad, obviously. As you said, the CGI is like cut when you're cut in half. Like this is worse than like the blood god effects in Blade. Like it's not even an attempt to look like anything on the inside of the person. Just like, oh, there's giant spurts of blood, and the CGI blood was bad as well. They used practical stuff, so I don't know why all of a sudden became CGI blood. You know, because it wasn't CGI, like when he rips the guy's arm off, that wasn't CGI blood. It was practical, but all of a sudden they just needed a lot more blood, so it's all CGI.
Right.
You know, cuts the guy's face off, and like, that looks awful. And lo and behold, this is based off manga. So it explains Kakihara's face. That's kind of like I would associate that with manga. You always have like the twin brothers that are in the gang. That's always, I think, a stereotype thing as well. But it's manga goofy is what I put.
Yeah, it's fair.
So, that's what I got. You want to go first for number of amputations out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, this movie is bizarre. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff happening. It's definitely interesting. I mean, it's got some fun things happening, but it's also bizarre and also terrifying at times. It's all over the place, but it's definitely something worth rewatching for sure. So I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I mean, comparison to Vortexes, right? Which was manga poorly done. This was at least a much more coherent story overall, I'd say, than that was. Is it rewatchable? That's why I've been debating. Like, do I want to watch it again? That's really what it comes down to. Like, I don't think I will. So I will give this 6.5 amputations out of 10. It's worth a watch, not necessarily a rewatch.
Right. All right. So now the final movie here is One Missed Call. This one I thought I had seen before. Maybe I saw the American version.
You probably saw the American version.
I did not see this one. This was completely unfamiliar. The first two I had seen before. This one I thought I did. I guess not. Essentially, I'm just going to kind of gloss over a lot of the goofy stuff here.
Well, let's face it, the last hour is way too long.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's literally on my list. It's like that last half is drawn out. So we'll jump into the good stuff here. So essentially what's happening is there's a girl that, like, there's a kind of a dinner party going on. Mm-hmm. And the one girl gets a call. It's a missed call. And she's like, oh, your phone's ringing. He's like, oh, that's not my ringtone. And then she answers, goes to answer the call and she misses the call. It goes to voicemail and she answers the voicemail and it's her own voice saying something innocuous and then her screaming. And then she looks at the date of the voicemail and it's actually dated like 2 days later.
Right.
And she gets kind of sort of freaked out by it, but she's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. So 2 days later, she essentially is talking to her friend on the phone, says the same line, and then screams, and then is like killed by like getting hit by a train. She like falls off a bridge and gets hit by it. She gets like almost like pushed off a bridge. And then like obviously like supernatural force pushed her off the bridge. She gets hit by the train. And then we see like her dismembered hand like making a call. And so they're like, oh, that's really weird. And so then like their other friend gets the same weird ringtone that's not hers call. She answers it and she gets another message, just like this thing. You know, it's her saying something innocuous, then she screams, and then then it's dated 2 days later. So she's like freaking out. She like cancels her phone and does all this stuff to like try to stop it, and she's like panicking. And somehow, like a news, like, I'm guessing it's like a TMZ type of thing. They somehow get this, because like apparently that's been happening for a while.
Yeah.
With different people, and they're just the latest of these people. So it's been this thing going around that people are getting these voicemails and then dying, at the time of their voicemail. So they like tell her like, oh, yeah, we do a TV show, but we're going to help you. We're going to have a guy that can do an exorcism for you, and he's going to save you from this whole thing. Like, you come with us and we'll do it. And he's kind of like dragging her away and she's really scared. And her friend is like, no, she doesn't want to do it. And she's like, well, no, I do want to do it. Like, I'm so scared that these people want to help me. I would rather take the help than not.
Right.
So she kind of gets pulled away. She leaves the film for a little while because we have 2 days. So essentially she meets up with the girl that isn't going to the TV show, the other friend that's left alive, meets up with this guy who's been kind of following her around. And she meets up with him, and they find out that, like, when everybody's dead, there's, like, candy left in their mouth.
Right.
So, like, somebody's leaving the candy. So all of these deaths and these voicemails are all connected, and it's like some weird serial killer is doing it. And so he says, like, yeah, it started earlier. My sister was one of the people who died. You know, I've tracked it. You know, it goes all the way back, you know, to these other things. We got to, like, research it and see what's going on. So they end up researching it, and they find out. I'm just going to cut this story short here. They end up finding out that there was a mom with two girls, and it looks like the mom kept bringing the girls, the youngest girl, into the emergency room with all these, like, weird injuries.
Yeah.
And so they kind of assumed that it was like, they call it Munchausen by proxy. I don't know if that's true, but anyway, they just thought it was abuse was going on in the home. And they find out that the other girl, the older girl, died of an asthma attack.
Yeah.
And so, and then, but the mom is missing, and they don't know where she is. And the girl was placed in foster care. They go talk to the girl in foster care. The girl doesn't talk anymore. She won't tell them anything, but they do find one of those candies in her, like, little pouch. So they know she's kind of, like, connected in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So they basically assume that the mom is this murderous killer that killed her or watched her daughter die and is now from beyond the grave killing other people for unknown reasons. So then we go back to the TV show with the girl. They have, like, this big thing of, like, a big panel of, like, judges or whatever they are. I don't know. People trying to help her. They have this guy come on who literally does an exorcism. It's interesting watching a Buddhist exorcism again. And they do the exorcism, and then nope, she dies anyway.
Yep.
So she can see the monster. You can see the monster on TV, but you can't see it in real life unless you're her. It was like some kind of, like, lady with, you know, I know the Japanese people love their long black hair and horror, so of course there's that. And yeah, she ends up getting killed, and then the girl that was last left alive, her phone rings. So now she has the 2 days, right? A lot of that investigation happened during that 2 days. Again, I'm just cutting all that short because it's this last half gets really dragged out here. So I'm just going to speed it up. So they go to apparently the hospital that all this stuff happened in was an old hospital that moved away from.
Yep.
Okay. So the old hospital's still there. So let's go to the old hospital and find out what's going on. So, you know, of course, this is when, you know, the time that she was supposedly dead, the guy was supposed to, like, meet her there, but she decides to go by herself anyway. I don't know why. Anyway, so she gets there and she's looking around. There's lots of spooky stuff happening. And eventually she, like, the time for the killing comes up and, like, her phone starts, like, ringing. The guy shows up. He finally finds her and she's, like, freaking out and, like, she's getting attacked by something he can't really see. But he looks around and he sees, like, this, like, zombie hand sticking out of a box holding a phone. And the hand's, like, pressing buttons and shit, and so he looks over and he sees that it's an active call. So he goes over and he picks the phone up and he shuts, you know, because these are all flip phones, so he shuts the phone to end the call, and then her call stops, and then now she's, like, saved,
right?
And then, you know, the zombie gets up and it's the mom. Right. The zombie mom is then trying to, like, kill them. And then they basically
hug it out.
Yeah, they hug it out. Again, whatever. We eventually find out, like, they investigate some more. We find out more. It wasn't the mom doing anything to the children. It was the older daughter was hurting the younger daughter on purpose. And then the younger daughter was going to the doctor and the mom didn't know what to do. Well, I guess she probably didn't know, but she had set up a camera because she must have been suspicious. Mm-hmm. And so she caught them, you know, she caught her on camera hurting the little girl. And so then as she has to take the little girl to the hospital because she's hurt again, the older daughter has an asthma attack. And instead of giving her her inhaler, she just lets her die.
Yeah.
And so that was the whole thing. So the mom is not the one to blame. The mom was innocent. The little girl is innocent. It was the older daughter was just evil and just wanted to hurt the little girl. And after she died, she's taking her vengeance on everybody else. The mom being the first victim.
Right.
And then everybody else stemmed from her because she had all their contacts in her phone. They don't really explain why she has all the rest of these people's contacts in their phone. I guess maybe she got them from the contacts of other phones. I don't know. It's supernatural phone stuff.
Hell yeah.
So then they have like a final showdown with the little girl and yeah, they win.
Do they though?
Probably not.
No, yeah.
But yeah, it's a very like open ending to where we don't really know what happened.
It's heavily implied that the ghost is now inhabiting the main Yumi's body.
Right. Right. Yeah. So yeah, it looks like they like survived, but now she's like the evil girl.
Yep.
And the dude was killed by her.
Yeah.
So whatever. Yeah, whatever. So she's still alive, but apparently it's the evil girl that took over her body.
Of course.
I know there's sequels to this. I don't really want to watch them, but I'm sure they address that.
Yes, there's a sequel and a TV show and a manga.
I think there's two sequels. I don't know. One of those might have been a TV show. I don't know. Yeah. I just saw there was One Missed Call 2, and then there's like One Missed Call 0.
Yeah.
They love their prequels over there.
Sure do. Especially the zeros.
Right. So yeah, so that's it.
Now, you said you thought you had seen this, but obviously then you didn't.
Yeah, I thought I saw it. I was watching this. I'm like, I have no recollection of this story at all. So I don't know what movie I saw that was like similar to One Missed Call that I thought was it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there one that was like One Missed Call where it was like the call was coming from inside the house? That was kind of sort of recent. Is that the same name?
Maybe.
Whatever. I think I thought it was that movie, but it doesn't matter. I didn't see it.
So, yeah, I mean, I had seen this, like I said, when the American remake came out, I made sure to watch this too. And you realize, I'll just go in my high points, is this movie was good enough that it didn't need the American remake. The American remake just tanked. It's like 0% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it the same story?
Exact same story.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Same events, same characters, everything.
Same drawn out second half?
No. it's a shorter, it's like 30 minutes shorter movie. So. Do you want to do your highlights first? Do you want me to?
Sure. I'll go first here. So, Flip Phone Mania, man. Yeah. Everybody's got a flip phone and they're all like the height of fashion. So they all got their dangly shit off of them and all that stuff. And they're all like got their fancy little lights and little screens and stuff. It's
bedazzles.
Yeah. I remember this time period and it was hilarious. The T9 texting and stuff was hilarious. I mean, I had a friend of mine who was like a master at that. So where like he hated when like full keyboards happened.
Oh.
Because he was so good at T9 that he could not get used to the regular keyboard.
No,
like
thank you.
When it was a T9 message, he would be like, zip. He'd send you messages in like seconds. I'm like, how is he doing it so fast? It was so fast. And never misspelled. And as soon as he switched to like a regular keyboard, like he was like, everything was misspelled and jumbled all the time. So like, what the fuck is this? He was like, he mastered the T9, but couldn't quite grasp the keyboard. It was funny. Anyway. I mean, like knowing you're going to die in 2 days, that's not fun. Right. But it's an interesting concept.
Exact. But like, time.
Yeah, but like these people are not like doing anything. Like if you know you're going to die in 2 days, like do something fun,
like
enjoy yourself for a day. They're just like, they don't do anything at all. I mean, the zombie mom was interesting looking. She had like skin, like peeling off of her.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really good. I thought it was fun effects. The mom kid twist was fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that one coming, so that's a plus for it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I like that. There's it's funny that we don't typically do exorcisms for ghosts in our country. Exorcisms are for demons. But as we know, like with the earless, right? You know, he had the exorcism done. He was painted except for his ears. Therefore, the ghost ripped his ears off. But it's interesting to see that. And there's like this TMZ style, like just bad people like capitalize on this. We should cut commercial. No. Okay. We're going to see someone die. I think that it was interesting is in this movie is that they believed it was a ghost pretty damn fast. Like, I feel like in our movies that it takes like an hour for people to start believing that maybe something supernatural is going on there. But this is, I think, just that cultural difference.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. It's like, trust, there's more people in the US that believe in angels than there are that believe in ghosts.
Yes.
So it's like, somebody says it's a ghost, that's kind of like, you know, it's everybody's kind of like very skeptical about it at first. They need like real proof before they're going to believe you. So we're like, in Japan is like ghosts and their weird demons are like, everybody knows they're there, right? They're like, they exist. Everybody knows they exist.
Everyone's seen a ghost.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, it's not a surprising thing.
Right. And it's interesting that they kind of cut to the chase. Like after like the first death, like, yeah, it's a woman that's doing that. Oh, we got the exposition dumped now.
Right.
And, like the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. You're like, all right, where's this movie going to go? And then like somehow it like, you know, it's going like normal movie speed. And then all of a sudden it downshifts halfway through. And like the last hour is like, why are you dragging this out so much? Like, just go already.
Yeah. You know, Kinji, I don't believe it. Oh shit. A invisible hand down the elevator shaft. I'm dead. Her last 16 hours is an hour of the movie.
Right. Yeah. Like we go through three deaths. I mean, like the film, like interesting, like TV show thing that happens like halfway in.
Yeah.
And then like the last hour is just like a big downturn. It's like, come on.
Yeah. And I liked her death at the TV show is interesting. That essentially her hand contorted and he was used to take off her own head, which I thought was interesting. An interesting kill for this. It wasn't just, oh, spooky Gary, scary, you know, ghost ankles that we had at Pulse. I said, didn't need the American remake. It's okay, but this is honestly, I think, better than the American remake. All rolled in my low points. You talk about your friend being good at the T9. I said, I don't miss that.
Oh, I know. I hated it. I was terrible at it. And I never, well, thankfully, I didn't get a cell phone until like 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very late adopter. I was very against having the phone because I was like, I don't want people to like have access to me all the time. That was my big thing. Like, right. I want to be able to like say, oh, I missed your call. I wasn't home. Like I loved that too much. So it took me a long time to finally get a phone. And when I got a phone, I think the first phone I had was T9, but within like a year, the second phone I had a keyboard.
Oh yeah.
It was like one of those ones with the keyboard that slid out, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
that was like my second phone. I love that phone. And so I never really had to do the T9, but
it's awful.
I was terrible at it. Thankfully I didn't have it for very long.
Yeah. But I don't miss those. I'm glad it's gone. And then, you know, for this, like, good effects, and then like the ghost CGI face in the door is just so blatantly bad.
Yes. So that's what I was so surprised. I'm like, why is Japanese CGI so bad? Like, well, what is, like, all of these films, they're terrible. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And it's interesting that they kind of throw in like a zombie into the ghost story, and then, or maybe she's a ghost, but the guy's like, I'm using an axe on this ghost. Oh, it didn't work. Shit. I mean, I guess he's trying something, but I don't think an axe is going to do anything to a ghost, personally.
if it has a physical form, an axe will probably help you, but I don't know. I don't know why it had a physical form.
Right. The physical form.
Like, how did they leave a dead body in a hospital? Like, nobody came back to check?
And it's only been 6 months. The entire hospital is cleaned out in 6 months is really hard to believe.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, nobody came back to like make sure there wasn't any like drugs laying around or something in like 6 months. Like, come on, man.
No, just a body there in a crate.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. And, you know, is it a bad ending? It is, but it's a weird ending. And I guess they did that kind of come full circle because, you know, the lecture that the guy was lazily sitting at his desk talking about to like the 15 people there was talking about how like kids that prey on younger kids or weaker kids, which, okay, it's fair. I guess they came back to that, but I don't think we needed to. And as you said, the last hour of this just dragged on so much, so much. It cut 40 minutes out.
Yeah, easily.
That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah, I'd say that TV show was pretty shitty. Right? It's profiting off of the poor lady. She's like terrified the whole time. They're just like, yeah, just sit there and look scared. We'll talk around you.
Yep.
I mean, the whole Munchausen by proxy, the idea of that is terrifying to me. Wow. Anyway, I mean, there was a very unnecessary scene where there was a phone covered in bugs for some reason.
And maggots, yeah.
It was disgusting. Unnecessary. Please don't do that. Yeah, like you said, the CGI was terrible. That, like, the door bulge, that, like, quote-unquote psychic blast. Like, come on. Where are you guys buying your effects from? Like, is this just, like, the stock stuff in, like, you know, iMovie or whatever the fuck you're doing?
Probably.
Anyway, yeah, child abuse is bad.
Yep.
Never fun. Yeah, again, like I said, drawn out last half and that ending. I don't know what was going on there, but like, wow. Could have used an editor on the last half for sure. That's all I got.
All right. I will go first for number of amputations. I enjoy this movie a lot. I'm just trying, you know, I've never watched it in correlation to like Audition to put these side by side. And I think I like it just as much as Audition, honestly. So I'm going 7.5 amputations out of 10. How about you?
You know, I didn't really like this one all that much. I don't know. It just felt like it compared to the first two,
mm-hmm.
which are disturbing at times, but at least like they felt like, you know, they had substance. This one, it kind of feels like a paycheck movie. You know what I mean? Like there's a couple interesting things here, but like it really just felt like not as spirited as the first two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go down to 5.75.
Which two fingers are you leaving on your hand?
The good ones.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I get.
All right.
Anything else you want to add?
No, take us home.
All right. You thought you were done with Japan? Think again, not yet. So all next month we're doing more Japanese stuff. But now we're doing their most famous franchises, of course, Ring and Grudge, which everybody knows. And we're going to compare them to their American remakes. So we're going to take turns. We're going to do the Japanese originals, then the American remakes, and we're going to discuss and compare. So that's right. We have dueling originals and remakes of the Ring and the Grudge series all month long. I know I've seen the American Ring and the American Grudge,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Oh, I've seen all of these.
I haven't seen any of the Japanese ones, and I didn't see any of the sequels to the American ones.
Oh yeah, I wasn't infatuated with the American remakes and the Japanese ones that came from when this started happening. So
I did again. I watched the originals of both and I was like, okay, that's interesting. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to watch it. But again, but they all are around the time where I just didn't really care all that much.
Right.
But yeah. So anyway, that's what we're doing. So remember, we watch bad movies so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, have you checked on the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh. Good.